And the soldiers wove a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. And they began to come up to him and say, "Hail, King of the Jews," and to give him blows in the face. And Pilate came out again and said to them, "Behold, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no guilt in him." Jesus therefore came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." When therefore the chief priest and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify, crucify." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by that law he ought to die, because he made himself out to be the Son of God." When Pilate therefore heard this statement, he was the more afraid, and he entered into the praetorium again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Pilate therefore said to him, "You do not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and I have authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered, "You would have no authority over me unless it had been given you from above, and for this reason he who delivered me up to you has the greater sin." As a result of this, Pilate made efforts to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, "If you release this man, you are no friend of Caesar. Everyone who makes himself out to be a king opposes Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at the place called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation for the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. And he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." They therefore cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." And so he then delivered him up to them to be crucified. They took Jesus therefore, and he went out, bearing his own cross, to the place called the place of the skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and with him two other men, one on either side, and Jesus in between. And Pilate wrote an inscription also and put it on the cross, and it was written, "Jesus the Nazarene, the King of the Jews." Therefore, this inscription many of the Jews read, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Latin, and in Greek. And so the chief priests of the Jews were saying to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but that he said, 'I am King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." The soldiers, therefore, when they had crucified Jesus, took his outer garments and made four parts, a part to every soldier, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece. And they said, therefore, to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to decide whose it shall be." That the scriptures might be fulfilled, "They divided my outer garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." Therefore the soldiers did these things, but there were standing by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own household. After this, Jesus, knowing that all had been already been accomplished, in order that the scripture might be fulfilled, he said, "I am thirsty." A jar full of sour wine was standing there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine upon a branch of hyssop and brought it up to his mouth. When Jesus, therefore, had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Well, today the title of the sermon is The Crucifixion of Christ. But before I get into the preaching from chapter 19, I want to ask us to turn back quickly for a moment to John chapter 12, and I'll read verses 12 through 15. John chapter 12, 12 through 15. Well, let me just back up to 9 and read through 15. The great multitude, therefore, of the Jews learned that he, Jesus, was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead. But the chief priests took counsel that they might put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and were believing in Jesus. On the next day, the great multitude had come to the great feast when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. Took branches of the palm trees and went out to meet him and began to cry out, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus, finding a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king comes sitting on a donkey's colt." Now, this passage is the passage where we get the concept of Palm Sunday. We know that today is designated in the Christian community as Palm Sunday. It's the Sunday that the Lord triumphantly entered into Jerusalem to live out his last week leading up to his death and crucifixion and resurrection. And so he enters this city for this last week, and we'll see when we get back to that section his ongoing ministry to his disciples and some things, significant things that he taught them and others during that last week. Well, this is what in a lot of circles is referred to as Holy Week because of what all happened in the life and death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Again, he entered the city and they were waving the palm branches, and therefore we designated or call it Palm Sunday. On Thursday night, we see pictures, a lot of pictures, different pictures of what is called the Last Supper. And that was the night that he instituted the Lord's Supper and broke the bread and gave them the bread and the cup and told them, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me," etc. Then on Friday, it's designated or called Good Friday in the sense that it's good for us, but it wasn't good for our Lord. That was the day that he was crucified and buried. But then he did not stay dead. He arose again on the third day, the next Lord's Day morning. And Lord willing, that's what we will celebrate next Sunday, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But today we're going to focus on the crucifixion in light of our celebration of the Lord's Supper. So let's go quickly now back to John chapter 19. And there's a lot of detail in this chapter concerning our Lord's crucifixion. It starts out in these first seven verses by bringing into focus for us some of the things that he suffered and the shame that he was put into as a result of those who were there who really hated him and desired to put him to death. It talks about our Lord being scourged. And I know I've explained what that word means before. I'll do it again today just as a reminder. When a person is scourged, they are beaten with a whip, but at the end of that whip is a ball of either metal or bone or both together, and the whip goes around the body's person, and that ball sticks into the flesh of the person. And so when the whip is pulled away, that ball literally rips flesh from the body of the person being scourged. Now you can only imagine how painful that was. Terribly painful. Well, but that's not all. Then they placed the crown of thorns upon his head. When I get a little briar in my finger from picking blackberries, it hurts. And I don't do pain very well at all. I despise pain. I don't like pain. But I can only imagine what a crown of thorns would be like being placed upon and pressed down on one's head. But they did that to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Then they beat him, blows to the face. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in a fist fight or not, but if you have, you know that's not pleasant either. And some of us have scars on our eyebrows and head as a result of younger days doing such ignorant things. But it's not fun. It's painful. And so they beat our Lord, blows to the face. Then they clothe him with a purple robe, as if to say, he claims to be royalty, so let's dress him up like a royal person. And all the while they were mocking him and making fun of him and shaming him and yelling out, crucify, crucify. Their hearts were so filled with hate for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that they wanted to put him to death by the most painful way a person could die at that given time in their culture. Nothing more painful than dying the death by crucifixion. Well, Pilate gets involved and he says to them, I find no guilt in him. And the simple reason is there was no guilt to find in him. Our Lord had lived his 33 years in this world without sinning even one time. Tempted in every way like we are, yet without sin. So no wonder Pilate could find no guilt in him. There was nothing there to find. All he had ever done was good for others. Loving, being compassionate, being gracious, telling them the truth, and yet healing them and feeding thousands with a few loaves and fishes and all these sorts of miraculous things. To demonstrate that he is indeed who he claimed to be, God in the flesh who came to dwell among us. And yet they could not stand him. They were outraged concerning him. Well, when Pilate heard that statement, he was more afraid and he entered the praetorium, and that's just a big word for the governor's mansion, that's what we call it, the governor's official residence. And he asked Jesus this question, where are you from? But Jesus gave him no answer. And so that kind of rang Pilate's bell a bit, and he didn't know quite how to respond to that, but he just reminded Jesus of his authority. And he said, you do not speak to me. Do you not know I have authority to release you and I have authority to crucify you? It's kind of like some uppity person saying, "Do you not realize who I am?" But Jesus answered and told him the truth and did it graciously and said, "You would have no authority over me unless it had been given you from above. For this reason, he who delivered me up to you has the greater sin." And as a result of that, Pilate made efforts to release him, but the Jews cried out again, saying, "No, he doesn't deserve to be released. He deserves to be crucified." And so they continued. They continued to holler out again, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." And so they did. And our Lord, when he was crucified, suffered now even more. It wasn't enough that he had been scourged and had the crown of thorns placed upon his head and had been beaten and mocked and all of that, but now they nailed him to the cross. And I, again, can only imagine how painful that was. But I'm convinced that the thing that caused him the most suffering and agony and pain was when he cried out, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And it was at that time, as he was dying upon the cross and shedding his blood to atone for our sins, that all of the wrath and punishment and judgment due to us because of our sin was poured out and placed upon him. And if it had only been the wrath, punishment, and judgment that I deserve, that would have been a big, painful thing. But you multiply that by all of us, and then you multiply that again by all who are his sheep throughout the whole world and have been and will be yet before he comes again. You can only imagine the weightiness of that wrath and punishment and judgment. That's what our Lord went through for us who are his. He sacrificed himself. He substituted himself in our place. And what we deserve is what he took upon himself so that we never have to. The pains of wrath, punishment, and judgment, the pains of even the fire of hell forever, that'll never touch us. But the Bible tells us that he who knew no sin became sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And so all of that was poured out upon him as he hung and bled and died in pain and in agony and tremendous suffering. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God in the flesh who had come to dwell among us, the Son of Man, the bread of life, the true bread of life, the living bread of life, the spotless, sinless Lamb of God, went through and endured all of that for us who are his. And he instituted the Lord's Supper to remind us of that. And when we eat of that bread today and drink of that cup today, I want us to remember what he went through on our behalf, what he suffered, the pain and agony in order to save us It was absolutely necessary. Nothing else would get the job done. And that's why he could say, "It is finished." And he knew at that moment, my mission has been accomplished. This is why I came into the world. This is why I have lived a sinless life. This is why they hate me and have crucified me, because of who I am and what I've done to save all of those who have been chosen for salvation from before the foundation of the world. It is finished. It's done. I've accomplished my mission. I've accomplished my purpose. And he breathed his last and gave up his spirit. Turn with me for a moment to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 11. And pick it up at verse 23. And the Apostle Paul was concerned and inspired of God to help.